Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you'll find three separate speaker feeds with over 200 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Danielle.
Hi, I'm Danielle, compulsive reader and bulimic.
Hi, Danielle.
Thank you so much, Rob, for asking me to speak and share my story. It's such a pleasure to be in front of all of you and to see all your faces and the support. And I've been in program since 02. What happened is that I was binging on my daughter's one-year birthday cake. And I was cutting slices of cake, and I was putting them on plates, and some, you know, somebody else would come in and get the slice of cake from me and bring them in the other room. And while they're in the other room, I was like, had a fork in the cake and was just eating as much as I could before the other person came back in. And it was a time in my life where I had moved with my son, my daughter, and my husband, who's now my ex, but we moved to Vancouver in the house. Yeah, I loved it there, and but the transition from LA to there and feeling all alone and feeling like I had no support, which I didn't realize the support that I had here until I left, and I was just, my world was upside down, and it rained so many days in a row. When I was first there, it was 10 days in a row, and I didn't know how to get around there yet, and I gained 10 pounds in 1 week, and I didn't think it was possible, but I weighed myself, and that was one of my other things, the body checking, looking at any reflection that I could get a hold of, the weighing. You know, it could be like, I could easily weigh myself in 25, 50 times a day. Like, it's just... It was just something to do to check out and manipulate what was going on and never looking at what my feelings were. And so at that point, I had a therapist. I was trying to find some way because I knew my life wasn't feeling good. And I said, remember that thing I told you about that I can eat like a pan of brownies and don't remember eating it? And remember that thing that I told you I did when I was in middle school when I was vomiting? I said, I really want to do that again. And she said, you need to go to an OA meeting. And she was familiar with program. And I said, what? I just really thought it was crazy. And I was signing my kids up for a class to try and figure out something to do when we were hanging out there. And I was going through the catalog, and like page after page, trying to find something. And at the back of the catalog, I was just about to close it, and I see this two-liner that said OA. You know, it was like this big. And it said, OA call for meetings. I was like, mother. I was so irritated, but at the same time, there was something, you know, in the air or in the work that said that you have to do this. And I called and didn't get a call back for a couple of days, and then it was just so, even another reason why I need a program, because I didn't get a call back, I was like, what do you mean? You know, I need, you should call me back, you need to call me back, like I kept going, you know, that I was getting rejected and now I wanted it. It's just so amusing to me when I think about it, and the woman called back another day and I left more messages, and now I really wanted to do this. Like, what is this about? And it was the weight gain. It was, I felt like I was crazy. I can pass around pictures of my kids. These two, I wanted to give them away. I wanted to give them up for adoption. I didn't know how to do it anymore. I felt like I'm a terrible mother. I'm sitting here, and I started vomiting again, and my head's in the toilet. My kids are in the other room, you know, and I wasn't in middle school anymore vomiting. I wasn't in high school anymore vomiting. I'm a mother of two, throwing up and not caring and not knowing why, not knowing how to stop it, and then binging soon after that, and a lot of that. Well, this will be the last time. This is just, okay, that cake will be my dinner. And then I won't eat dinner, so then it'll balance out. There was such a balance sheet of what goes in and what comes out and how to manipulate that with exercise as well. And it was just so, so sad. I didn't want them to be with their dad. I just thought I was going to have to get rid of them, you know, I wanted them to be adopted into a family that wasn't mine. And, you know, wasn't my mom or anybody in my family. And I wanted them to be happy, and I just knew I couldn't do it. And that's where I was. And I went into my first OA meeting feeling all of that and just thinking, okay, I'll do this. I don't know what else to do. And I got to the first meeting, and it was a whole meeting of sharing, and I could not just comprehend. It was, I think my mouth must have been open during the whole meeting. I couldn't believe how honest everybody was. I'm like, aren't they afraid? Who's going to find out? Aren't they afraid? Yeah, it's anonymous, you know, but it's really, it can't really be. And it just, I didn't have any trust of that at first when I started hearing the shares. And also I thought, maybe this is just a Canada thing, you know? And then I listened, and I, by the end of the meeting, and then they read, the last thing that was said in the meeting was, welcome to OA, welcome home. And I just wept. I just thought, these are my people, this is my family. This is my family without judgment. Everything growing up for me was about proving my worth. That's just, you know, was my experience. And if I do this, if I do that, if I accomplish this, you know, going to the right schools, going to the right college, you know, continuing all that, becoming, you know, the professional that I am. And I just thought all those things, once I did them, once I got out of my house, once I had proved myself, that it would all be okay. And I was in my line of work, and I remember one day saying, I'm not even enjoying this anymore. Like, this was supposed to be it, and this isn't it. And then I had kids, and that wasn't it. You know, I got married, and then I had kids, and none of it was it. And I remember just really not enjoying much. And in that first meeting, I heard people, you know, talk about happiness and told me to do this reading and underline everything that it means to me. And in the big book, you know, reading the doctor's opinion and reading Bill's story. And, you know, for my religion of growing up was very punitive, and it was about what I needed to do good so that I wouldn't burn forever. You know, it was just really, really hard for me. And I thought, what does God care about my food and my craziness? You know, I just need to, like, all of my existence was about just not going to hell. That's what God was. And if I was about to die or something happened, I could just say everything really fast, and then I'd be forgiven and I would go to heaven anyway. So there was, I didn't understand it, and it didn't connect with me for tools of living, which I heard people talking about in that first meeting. And yeah, and I thought from there, I thought, okay, you know, I'll drink the Kool-Aid. And then I went for another week, and I tried to get a sponsor, and I couldn't find one, and everybody was full, but I just kept trying, because when I heard them share in the meeting, I thought, I want what they have. I really, really do. I want to be able to sit with my kids and enjoy the moment of being with them. And then it went from wanting to enjoy those moments and remembering them to wanting to do that with other people in my life and some family members too. And I wanted to be a good listener, like I heard in those meetings. And yeah, I ended up loving being in Vancouver. And I was really, really, really afraid to leave. And I was there for about a year before I came back. Yeah, 6 months to a year before I came back to LA. And program was, you know, the meetings were different, the style was different, the meetings were big. You know, everybody always got to share in the meetings there. And it felt very close and it felt safe. And I had to experience like that trusting again when I came here. And I just realized though that it's still the same program. You know, I saw everybody here reading the same literature, reading the books. And during that first, the 6 months, I remember I was still binging, and the woman who I'd been talking to there, who was my temporary sponsor, she said, when you want to vomit, you know, ask somebody, you know, who you love, who loves you, to hold your hand through it until the feeling passes, and it will pass. And I said, no, it won't, because it only passes when I do vomit. I said, no, it won't. And she said, just try it, you know. And I tried it, and it passed. I didn't like it. It wasn't enjoyable, but it was another option that I had. And she would always say, you know, call me before you binge or you vomit, and just talk to me about it, or just check in, leave a message, something before you do it. I just want you to do that first. And I said, I'll try. Like, I did have that willingness. And I remember, too, as I was reading the steps about being open, honest, and willing, and that's what we need. And so even if I wasn't going, you know, even if I wasn't going to abstain from binging or vomiting, if I was, you know, willing to consider it or to think about it or to reach out, it, you know, it was kind of creating a shift and like maybe like burning that new neural pathway of, you know, giving me another tool, something else to think about in those moments. And one of the most wonderful things I ever heard when I first came was, and still am reminded of, I just remember in those moments of saying, I didn't even know that was possible. The progress, not perfection. I was like, I just could not understand it. Like, really? Really? That's possible? It's okay? The progress is okay? Like, the process of it is okay? Like, that can be honored? And I started asking more people about their experience with these things that I just had a hard time wrapping my mind around, that I just really couldn't take in. You know, I could hear it, but I couldn't really grasp it. And when I heard the progress, not perfection, I thought, everything that I've experienced in my life so far has been about the goal, about completing it, and that was the perfection, like completing the goal of what I wanted to do. And that was going to solve it, you know, to solve my unhappiness. And this was just, it just, it was like that idea that he says in the big book, when Bill says about being catapulted into the fourth dimension. That's what I felt like. I thought I was just being just like rocketed there. It was so liberating. It was really, really a wonderful spiritual experience that I hadn't had my whole life, even though I had been around, you know, religion, which I confused with God. And being in that experience of another dimension, I felt so much relief. And I just, you know, the idea of relaxing and taking it easy felt more possible, because I never did that. That meant that I was a slacker, you know. That meant that I, you know, and if I wasn't worrying about something that I had to do, then I that is like the worrying counted just as much of the actual work that I would do. And then if I felt bad about something that I had done, I had to really feel bad about it all the time, because that was like my way of showing contrition, you know, that I'm really sorry because I'm talking about it all the time, or apologizing more than once, you know, like I'll mean it more the next time. And you know, my experience too in the beginning was a lot of looking at my past and growing up and how my parents were and their addictions and remembering, gosh, I've had this disease for a long time, not just this last week when I gained 10 pounds in a week. You know, things started coming back to me about remembering the first time that I vomited and I was in a, you know, my mom was yelling at me about something and she's a fantastic cook. And I ate dinner and I remember just pushing my seat back and just going in my room and vomiting. And I would hide it in clothes and then do the wash later at night myself. I would, or I'd do it in the shower when nobody could hear me vomiting. And I remember just thinking, I have the control now. And then in the time where I came into the program, I realized that this isn't working for me anymore because and those like two little lives, those kids, you know, there was a part of me that knew that I was supposed to be an adult and I wasn't in seventh grade anymore and I couldn't just go in my room and hide. And I lived on that control or that idea of control that I thought I had when I was binging and vomiting. When I'd get home from school every day, I would make, you know, tons of whatever those Hostess treats are, whatever they were that was available, and just eat them until I felt sick. And then I always thought, I'm just throwing up because I don't feel good, you know? I just don't feel well. I had no idea, really. And even later, as an adult, when I started vomiting again, I thought, I'm just doing it. Cause, I mean, I would leave dinner with friends at a restaurant and go into the bathroom and vomit. I just thought, I just don't feel good. And it had nothing to do with my education. It had everything to do with my spiritual malady. I had nothing. I had no other way to live. It was, you know, it was some rotation between, you know, binging, vomiting, the work that I was doing, and being angry. And there was so much of that, the anger and resentment. And as I started working through the steps and the idea of step one and being powerless, and which I couldn't get, how can I be powerless and this is going to work? I don't understand that. And then the acting as if it works, and the hearing and going to the meetings and hearing other people that I've worked with. The meetings were really key in getting a sponsor for me. Really, really made a difference. The acting as if it would work, I would just say that all day long, you know, and write it out because I didn't think it was going to work. But then I was told, well, you don't have to think it will. You just have to act as if it will. And trying to turn my mind off also became another act of powerlessness. And then I started to feel the change. Like I started to feel that the strength and having it not be up to me anymore. I started feeling really, really, you know, like empowered by that. You know, like I don't have to solve this. Yay! You know, I started really getting excited by that idea. And just starting with that, and the one step at a time, and the more I read the steps, the more I read the big book, I found God. It makes me emotional to think about it. It's something I just never thought was possible, to be able to find a God who cared about me, and who loved me. And, you know, my sponsors had said to me, God can be whoever you want God to be. And I said, that is such crap. And there's no way. Like, it's not like that. God's up there and there's the balance sheet. And, like, I thought my bulimia was very, like, metaphorical for that as well, you know, of each other. But the, my sponsor just kept encouraging me and said, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter what you think. And your higher power can be whoever you want your higher power to be, whatever. And so I wrote out the want ad, my first want ad for my higher power. And my higher power wants me to be thin. That was my first thing. And I'm like, doesn't matter, so I can write whatever I fucking want. And then it was next, my higher power loves me. My higher power says that it's okay for me to have fun. And my higher power feels bad for things that happened to me when I was a kid. And my higher power is not my mother. And my higher power is there just for me. Everybody else has their own, and mine's there for me. So my higher power will never be too busy. And my higher power doesn't think my food is stupid. And my higher power doesn't think my worries and obsessions are stupid. My higher power wants to help me. And my higher power wants me to have joy in my life. My higher power wants me to be at peace. And, you know, hearing the word serenity and saying the serenity prayer and while doing the step work, like, I didn't take it lightly. It was something that I really needed to say over and over again. And I wanted it. And it started becoming more of a desire of mine. And I had more and more willingness as I followed those who went before me and gave me guidance to do the step work and to read the big book and to read the stories in the big book. And when I was looking over my want ad for my higher power, it was like the last challenge that I wanted to give the program, and there have been challenges along the way for everything, especially like, what is this, step 9? But I said, okay, my higher power is going to be Peter Pan, and that was like my first higher power. And, like, gosh darn it worked. Like, Peter Pan worked. I prayed to Peter Pan. Peter Pan let me be a kid. Peter Pan let me have fun. Peter Pan let me, like, enjoy my kids. I got to, you know, I would go down the slide at the park with my kids and just enjoy it. I didn't just have to, you know, be there watching them have fun. I got to, like, be a part of it. I got to explore other, you know, parts of my career and enjoy that and not feel like it was less than what I should have been doing. And it all started working, so I stayed. And I kept coming back. And then I noticed that as I felt better, sometimes, like, the step work and things like that would just kind of, I would do it less. And I would not feel so great. And the things like the food would get stronger and meaning the food would get stronger, like it'd become more attractive or seductive as the solution again and as the source of comfort. But when that happened, it didn't last as long, you know, and each year in program, like the food becoming the answer didn't stick around as long as it used to. And so I noticed that progress, not perfection, in my life. And I didn't have to beat myself up about it, even though I would. But I had somebody to talk to about it. I could share about it in the meetings. I could talk to my sponsor about it. And, you know, sick as our secrets, it became less of a secret. And I trusted you all. And, you know, the wonderful thing about this program that I did not appreciate in the beginning are the traditions and being able to share whatever I want in here. And, you know, somebody may judge me, but I will never know about it. And it's so brilliant, you know. Anybody could be thinking anything about me. And also, that's one thing I would always like to say anytime I shared, you know, take what you like and leave the rest, because I didn't want the pressure of having to come up with something that somebody could use, you know. but it's just, you know, my experience, strength, and hope, and this is what it is. And the more I read the literature, the more and more was revealed. and God was there. And then Peter Pan wasn't working so well for a while, and I felt that change, and then I found another higher power, Spider-Man, you know? And I went through, like, this bevy of superheroes for a while, and it was just awesome, you know? It was really great. And then when it wasn't working as well, then it, like, became the ocean, you know? And then for a while, like, for about a year, it was all of you again. You know, and it's and all the God that I hear in your shares, and the spiritual healing, and the honesty and the vulnerability. It's so brilliant. It just it warms my heart. It gives me all the tools for living. I can get angry and not have to raise my voice. Which is, like, with my background, with growing up, with all I heard was yelling and being defensive, you know. Sometimes I can get that pause and wait for the, you know, something intuitive that God is putting there, you know, that direct line of connection that the big book says about us getting with God and the steps, that direct connection and being able to communicate with people. For me, it was a lot of growing up I had to do, and you've all parented me in some way, and this program has. It was interesting to notice that. Oh, this is how people talk to each other when there's, you know, like, I love the business meetings. You know, they're just so great sometimes. You just see, and, like, it's right there. You know, you just see how we all, you know, have our trigger points, you know, and how we talk about things and how we think we're right sometimes. And then we also have, you know, the literature with us and the principles before personalities and being able to, you know, go through the protocols and discuss things and vote. And if we don't like the outcome, we still, like, we all voted, you know, that sort of thing. And that's, I it was such a microcosm of what I needed to apply in my life. And with, you know, there was one point in my career where I had a lot of people working under me. And I thought, oh my God, I was so terrible. You know, I just, like, I saw it. And I also thought, what a gift this program has given me to even see that. You know, I was admitting faults to me. And as I went through the step, admitting faults was like just weakness. You know, that was my experience growing up. You know, nobody said sorry, you know, and, as kids, we had to say sorry no matter what. And even if we were had something to say about it, we weren't allowed to, you know, be right. And it just, thanks. And it just carried on. And then when I came here, I got those choices. And I just want to say, because if anybody wants to ask questions, I'd love it. I had a hard year with my mom getting cancer, and I busted my foot in July, and I've been in crutches. I know a lot of you see me, like, falling into chairs at meetings and not having hands, you know, with these crutches and sort of having surgery. And my daughter was injured, like, 2 weeks before that, and it was just, like, a lot of, like, accidents and things. And when this happened, as horrible as it started becoming when I realized I was going to have to surgery and the screws put in, it was a gift, you know, like, it got me into these rooms more wholeheartedly again. And before program, I would have never been thankful for any injury or anything bad happening. I would have never seen the other side of it. And really, like, this is my higher power working through me, this program working through me. This is not what I came here with, you know. I was not a nice, fun, you know, looking on the bright side kind of person. I was always glass half empty. And now I'm not. Thank God. Yeah. So thanks for letting me be a service. Do you need to read? Or is there? Okay. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
How do you think your recovery has changed your children in their lives?
I would. Well, they're still with me. I didn't give them away, and nobody took them away from me. But I find that when I'm angry or stumped with their behavior or something happens, I'm able to separate myself more from them. I'm able to have that pause. And more often than not, it's not perfect. And I think what has changed is I went through a really hard time with my son who had a lot of anxiety and had learning issues and was depressed in second grade. You know, they fill out this form with this testing, and he checked the box that said, "I'd rather not be alive," you know? Like, it was in second grade. Like, it was just, and I was in program then, you know? Like, and if I hadn't been, I just feel, you know, I had two attempted suicides when I was a kid. And I felt like, you know, I could have easily done that where I was going before I got into program again. And I think it's just, you know, when he's having his moments or my daughter is or any of that is going on, sometimes I can just even sit back and watch a tantrum or, you know, it's less so because they're a little older now, but and enjoy it. And just let them have their feelings, you know? Like, yeah, get it out, you know? Like, and if it's stressing me too much, then I can also give myself a time out and go in another room. Like, I learned that in program and in recovery. These, you know, that didn't happen before. Like, I remember yelling at my son when he was, like, one, you know? Like, just yelling at the top of my lungs. Like, just for him to stop crying. Like, what is that? That's not a tool, you know, to yell at somebody to stop crying. And I remember, and then I would remember as a kid, you know, having somebody in my family say that to me, you know, and anytime somebody said, "Don't worry," all I did was get anxiety, you know, and I'm so blessed. The program, the steps, working those steps, it was like I started working the steps, I'm like, now this is what God's supposed to be for me. This is it. And I never had that experience with anything spiritual. You know, before program, I was like chanting, and I was yoga, and doing all these other things, and I wasn't getting that whole filled. And program clicked. Yeah, I knew I had a lot of rage. I did it. Things like the actions that I was taking in my life that were related to binging and vomiting. My sponsor would tell me not to get caught up in the why so much, and she just always brought me back to the steps. It was always the step work. And I remember my first sponsor, when I did step one and I turned it over to her, you know, I read what I had written and underlined, and she's like, "I don't think you quite have this yet." I was like, what? Yeah. If anything, I'm a good student, you know? Like, I was so righteous about it. And then I was like, well, okay. Like, and I loved how she spoke, though. I loved how she talked about life. She enjoyed living, and I didn't. And so, I just kept going back to the step work. And that's how I started connecting to everything that mattered in my life, is really doing that step work. And, you know, and even now I'm going through the steps again, and I'm just read step three. And I was reading something to my sponsor now, and she's like, "Wait, that's in the OA 12 and 12? I was like, "Yeah, I never even read this. I don't even remember this before." You know, and it was just, there's something for every stage of where I'm at that speaks to me. And so connecting to the anger and fear and, that fear, that insecurity that happened, with the steps. It was that spiritual experience that I knew that I always wanted and never happened until I did it.
And your path to do, in the 12 and 12, I had a low spot on like day 3 or 4, and I found life unbearable without food. I was wondering if you made it through there, or what stuff you
Yeah, I was reliving a lot of my childhood when I was first going through the steps, and I didn't know how I was going to do it without my favorite foods, my comfort, my blanket, my thumb. It was. It was just making it through those points where all I wanted to do was eat, was only through, it was a lot of trust that it would get better. And when I got to the point where I wrote that want ad for my higher power, that my higher power wants to soothe me, my higher power, can teach me how to self-soothe without the food. I never learned that before. I never got hugs or, comfort or anything in the family. And the food is all that did it for me. So what I did was trust what my sponsor said and do the want ad and keep reaching out and making those phone calls when the last thing I wanted to do. And just doing it anyway. Getting to that moment where I just said, I'm going to call. I'm not going to eat again. Not this time. And just one thing at a time like that. Like really taking it down to like one possible binge at a time and taking another action instead. Thanks for your question.
Thank you.